Blog Talk Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
So let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom is under attack in your state. Dictator Ron DeSantis incredibly lets you walk around without masks. That tyrant allows your kids to go to school during the pandemic, year two or four, or who the hell knows. I urge you living in Florida to join the fight. Or join us in California, where we'll take the money you earn and give it to people who don't work. Visit San Francisco, where you can walk through human feces. If you're lucky, you might step on a syringe. Check out Los Angeles, where gas is so expensive, your kids only need to skip a meal or two or ten to afford it. California, where freedom means lockdowns for you, while I go to the places you can't afford. Don't let them take your freedom. Come to California, where we'll take it, along with your money.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wild Ritter.
Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative Radio Show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show. Thank you.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to another night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday. I don't know if we'll have Candace or not today. She's in Florida, and I have no clue how that went. Hopefully she's safe. I expect her to be safe, but you never know. Anyway, Dahl said she'll come in a little bit. Other than that, if you want to be a part of the show, the number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation here. So yeah, I just feel like I've been running all day today, so let's get rid of that. I don't even know what the okay. There was something on TikTok that somebody sent me that I forgot to even upload. So I'm doing that as we speak here, and it shouldn't take that long. And then Vito's here as well, but let me at least get the show started here for a minute. There we go. All right. I want to just play this real quick before I do anything.
It's called the Global Public-Private Partnership. Please look it up. The World Economic Forum brags about it. Every United States of America citizen should be horrified and disgusted by this concept. The concept is that corporations and boards and people like Larry Fink, who happens to also be on the board of the World Economic Forum while being the CEO of BlackRock, and on the board of the Council of Foreign Relations. Well, what happens is they decided that they're going to go with the corporations and the central banking cabal, and they are going to usurp all of our governments, like Klaus Schwab admitted with his young global leaders, and they are no longer going to allow our governments to have any power whatsoever. That means that we, the people, are even lower than that, because just like we saw last week, the Amex, Visa, and MasterCard are now going to put ammunition and guns in a special category. This is coming from the public-private partnership. It's skipping our government and our Bill of Rights and our Second Amendment to create something that is completely unconstitutional and unacceptable to the majority of Americans. The majority of Americans, by the way, are us. Above that is the World Economic Forum. We've talked about plenty. The Council of Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, the architects of the climate emergency. We got the Chatham House, which is the Crown's Council of Foreign Relations. So they work in tandem because the Council of Foreign Relations is in cahoots with the Crown's Council of Foreign Relations, Chatham House. And the last one there is, of course, the Rockefeller family and all of their friends. Above them are the central banks, which also include the City of London, Rothschild Bank, the vassal state known as the Vatican, and the vassal state known as the District of Columbia. Along with the central banks, they all meet at the top. It's something called the Bank of International Settlements. That is who is controlling this world. That is who is manipulating every country. That is who's paying for the wars to pay themselves back. The first time that they played with this in 2008 was the largest transfer of wealth in America under the guise of an uncontrollable collapse. It was a controlled demolition of our financial system where all the money from the middle class was transferred to these people in the central banks. They didn't hide it. Obama came in and basically cheered it on by nobody going to jail, nobody paying for it, and all of our money being lost with them saying, sorry, banks are too big to fail, but not you. And after that, you should know. The Council of Foreign Relations, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank, the World Health Organization.
Biden's FBI routinely uses heavily armed SWAT.
All right, that ended quickly there. Anyway, I wanted to bring that up, and I apologize. I did not get the name of whoever created that video, and I wanted to do that because I wanted to start the day with talking about Klaus Schwab. And there's a video of him, and I don't think this was Project Veritas, but it's very Project Veritas-esque, where they ask him in person about who he owns, and he's openly bragging about it. So I want to play that real quick, and then Vito, I'll bring you in here in a second.
Who do we have as we work, Klaus, in the different meetings? What type of stakeholders do we have?
The
constituencies.
Stakeholders, we have, if I look at our stakeholders, we have business, of course, as a very important audience, and we have politics, we have continuous partnerships with many governments around the world, and of course we have NGOs, we have trade unions, we have all those different parts.
Media, of course.
Media, of course, right? And very important experts and scientists and academia. Because if we are looking at the future, I think we should look at new solutions, and the new solutions will be very much driven by technological developments.
And we even have you even have religious leaders, right?
We have religious leaders, we have social entrepreneurs, very important social entrepreneurs.
So, yeah, he's openly bragging there about who he owns, and that's that he thinks that's what's going to bring him to the promised land. All right, so Vito, I see you there. I'll go ahead and bring you in since Dal's not ready yet.
What's up, Proof?
What's the word on the street, sir?
It's all quiet out here. I'm out in, I think I'm in Kentucky tonight. I'm not 100% sure. I'm just going up to Canton, Ohio. I got to drop a load of truck parts up there, believe it or not. I'm driving a truck, taking truck parts to get put on trucks, I guess. But, yeah, that Klaus Schwab, he's a true piece of crap, man. Proof, this is just my opinion. I could be wrong, but... I think what we're witnessing right now is what the Nazis tried to do, or they tried to do with the help of the Nazis, and for some reason, you know, Hitler screwed up, or they lost faith in Hitler, and he went off the rails and then started doing his own thing. But that's my opinion. I could be wrong.
Well, that was the start of, and then he thought he could take over Russia.
Yeah.
And that
his problem was he was fighting two battles. He was fighting battles on two fronts. And Germany just couldn't handle it. He miscalculated what he was doing, basically.
Yeah, it was crazy to think that he thought he could just go into Russia and do what he wanted to do
On top of that, he was micromanaging the war when he should have left it up to his generals. Because I truly believe that if he did not get involved as involved as he did, we'd probably be speaking German today, Proof.
You think they would have crossed the border and tried to get into here?
I think that they would have, the Nazis would have succeeded. That's my opinion.
Yeah, not only would they have succeeded, I would be worried that Franklin Delano Roosevelt would have tried to help him.
Yeah, no doubt. FDR, you know, the great socialist, was FDR proof. We know that.
Yeah.
All that he tried to do to fix America when there was nothing to fix. He should have left it alone. He was trying to get, you know, he was trying to make America socialist. What else is there to say?
You know that he had a second Bill of Rights, but he died before
yes.
he can get that passed.
Yes, he had. I heard that he had a recording. It was a recording made of him talking about it.
Yeah.
And I never heard it, but I can only imagine what his Bill of Rights would have looked like. You know, the great man that FDR was.
Well, he wanted the right to a fair working minimum wage. He wanted farmers to get X amount of money. I don't remember what else there was offhand. I didn't expect to go over it today.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Well, you know, I mean, I could see, you know, minimum wage and whatnot. That part I get, but you know, his agenda was a socialist one. I mean, look at what he did to how he ignored the problem with the Nazis and the Jews, what they were doing to them. He knew. He knew what was going on in Poland and Germany.
He was afraid of. I think he wanted to go socialist just like Mussolini, but I think that Hitler took it so far that everybody else stepped back.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
those other nations.
I think you're right.
You had Mussolini, you had Lenin and Stalin, you had Hitler, you had Franklin Delano Roosevelt on his third term. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he thought that he could do the same thing. But...
Yeah.
With his illness, he couldn't go very far.
Yeah, makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Because a lot of the whole world was turning socialist right then, and right now, I don't think that necessarily the world is turning socialist, because I think we have a different war right now. I think the war is the 99% versus the 1%. There's no way that they could sell me that this many people will vote for people like John Fetterman this year.
Nah. Proof. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's in Florida now, but I mentioned him. His parents both survived Auschwitz. And I mentioned to him that they have Fetterman, this guy Fetterman. He didn't know about it, because he's down in Florida. And I said to him, I said, yeah, there's a guy running. He's an avowed communist, man. He wants to, like, give everything to everybody and empty the jails. He's not for us. And he couldn't believe it. I said, yeah, this is Pat Toomey's seat, I told him. This is a seat that should go Republican, but this guy is being... is in the running, and it's funny. I'm in a truck stop in PA the other day, and a service area. It was a state run service area, and they have a photo of Governor Tom Wolf, and then they have a photo of Fetterman on the wall also. You know, Wolf is in a suit and tie, and Fetterman is in a shirt with an open collar. Like, this guy is like. I don't know what this guy's problem is, but he's not a politician, in my opinion, anyway. But he's fooling a lot of people, though.
Well, he's trying to work on that persona like he's everybody else, but he's not. He's never had I have a rule, Vito, and welcome in, Dahl, but I have a rule, Vito, that... In order to represent the American people, you have to have had a job in your life, because if you never had a job in your life, you're not representing me. You're representing the 1%. And
yep.
if Fetterwoman has never had a job, and I don't count being a mayor of a town just like Bernie Sanders, I don't count that as having a job.
I mean, I think Fetterman is worse than Sanders. You know, I just think he's worse than Sanders. That's my opinion.
Oh, of course he is.
You know, he's willing to go even further. He wants to give away the whole farm to you know, everything socialist.
I don't think he's socialist. There's a difference. Bernie Sanders is socialist. This guy's a communist.
Yeah. Yeah, but what I don't understand is the Republican Party is not pushing Dr. Oz. Trump is backing him. And I don't think...
Oz doesn't even care about Trump's endorsement.
No, but I have my questions of Oz also. I mean, I think he's someone told me he's anti-Second Amendment. He's not anti-Second Amendment, he's pro-gun control.
Yeah.
So,
and he's pro-mandatory vaccines.
I think, didn't he change his stance on that? Originally he was.
I don't think he changed. I'm not saying he didn't. You or somebody that lives in Pennsylvania would know more than me. I don't study him.
Yeah.
But
I remember someone
saying it's just sad that Dr. Oz is just such a squish candidate that I just can't believe that Fetterwoman actually has a good chance to win this.
Yeah. This I mean, look, you have Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Those two cities control the whole state.
Yeah, but that's like
those
that in every state, though. You have the one or two big cities that vote for the communist, and then everyone else votes for the Republican side, generally.
Yeah, I mean, basically, from what I'm hearing in Philadelphia, people in Philadelphia were polled, and they were backing Fetterman no matter what.
Yeah, he can have 10 more strokes. They'll still vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they'll still vote for him.
He can come out again tomorrow and see the Eagles are better than the Eagles. And they'll still vote for him.
Better than the Eagles. Unbelievable. Incredible.
And the Eagles are so much better than Eagles. No.
Oh, God.
Unless he's thinking like Glenn Frey and Don Henley and Timothy B. Schmidt are better than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
That could have been a save on that, but I'm sure he, well, I don't know.
Whatever he meant, he said what he said. I mean,
yeah.
Look, you saw that gaffe that Biden did yesterday, right?
So, Dahl, if you're
Congresswoman.
Oh, about the lady that passed away and he was asking for her?
He was at, that was, you know, do you know that that was a memorial for her that he was at?
No.
That, from what they're saying, that was, I was listening to Kill Me this morning on the radio, and Kill Me said this was a memorial for the dead congresswoman, and for him to come out and ask for her when you know that you're there, the reason why you're there. I mean, he said, and I've said this, who is running this country? Because it's not him. It is not Biden running this country. He's doing nothing to run this country. And that's what he said, and I've said it too. It worries him. Who's in charge now? Because it's not Biden. It damn isn't him. Harris. He made a...
Sorry, I was just trying to...
Well, yeah. This function was actually a, like, food security, blah, blah, blah thing, and she was being memorialized, this congresswoman was being memorialized at the, it was supposed to be, like, memorandum of her. And, what a shit show.
I mean,
and even Jean-Pierre couldn't cover for him.
No, she couldn't.
And she could, yeah. She. I mean, would she? Listen, everything now that comes out of her mouth is an absolute lie now. All right. There is nothing that that press secretary can say that I would believe is truthful anymore.
So do you think she honestly hates that job and she's just going through the motions? She's phoning it in?
Yeah, it's possible. I thought about that. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. But she's going to be taken care of when everything is done. She's just there to do her assignment, and that is to just, you know, be the mouth, the spokesperson for the president, you know, with the media, and that's it. Just, you know, disavow anything and gaslight it all. That's all. That's all she's doing. There is no inflation, and the president had this woman on his mind. Yeah, he asked, hey, where is she? Where's whatever her name is? I'm like, oh. You know, then you had Kamala Harris with her flaw.
Oh, yeah. So where
that was,
I don't know if anybody else knows this or not, but we're now aligned with North Korea.
Absolutely, I don't think that was an accident. Proof, given how leftist this regime that we have in the, you know, that's running our government now, I really do think that they are, running with the North Koreans. We're certainly running with the Chinese.
Yeah, and then today, Biden had another gaffe when he was at FEMA headquarters, or supposedly at FEMA headquarters, and he's reading from the teleprompter, and I happened to catch it live, and he says something, danger, danger, stranger, you know, whatever he's saying, and he goes, quote, end quote, end quote. And the gal who was doing the sign language had a pause, and then she picked back up again, you know. Pretty bad.
That would be funny, Justin. Whenever you want to mess him up, you just make him say something really stupid.
Oh yeah, just about any time he's on air. And then you got on top of that, he wandered off. After that,
yes.
In the FEMA headquarters, and the head of FEMA is following around trying to rein him in. And he's trying to glad hand everybody, and everybody's going, what the heck is going on here? What the heck? The eagle has flown the coop. The eagle has flown the coop, I repeat.
We got two more years of this. This is no joke,
man. Can we
survive? Honestly, I think things are going to get even worse here soon. Much worse. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not even close to being worse.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Totally agree with your proof. Totally.
And you know, it's funny, too, you know, how many times they wanted to evoke the 25th Amendment with Trump.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, how
exactly.
Many times was that brought up?
Exactly. That hasn't even come up. And, you know, the press secretary, if they even brought that up to her, she would probably gaslight that, too. I guarantee she would gaslight that.
Yeah. And, you know, where's the Speaker of the House? She's been strangely absent.
She's making stock deals.
Yeah, she's out there making her deals.
Well, she's with her husband making money off the insider information that they're getting. So.
Yep. Oh, boy, ain't that the truth.
You know, and then they played a thing on Biden the other day when he was talking about the hurricanes and stuff. The most important thing that you should do is get vaccinated. And I'm like,
sorry, I didn't quite understand you there.
Biden was talking the other day. He was giving a press conference or something. I'm not 100% sure, But he said, he was talking about the hurricane in Florida, and he says you have to be prepared for these things. That's why you need to be vaccinated. Or something to that effect, but he said you got to be vaccinated. And I'm like, vaccinated for what now? Hurricanes? What the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, and I was also trying to understand where you had several people coming out and saying, that's why you need to replace DeSantis with Charlie Crist so you don't get any more hurricanes. I don't know how a party affiliation means that you believe in or don't believe in hurricanes.
Well, it's not even that, Poof, but they are also saying that Florida is being punished for not taking the jab.
Right.
So you're saying that So the left are now believing that there's a God now? Is that what you're saying?
That's a good question, because I've heard people in Islam say the reason why it hasn't rained in 9 months is because a woman in Abu Dhabi wore a short-sleeve shirt.
Wow.
They believe stuff like that. Or too many men are wearing blue jeans. That's why it's cold this winter.
Yeah, well, thank God I'm not wearing blue jeans. I don't know, man. It's just crazy out there now. It's just, you know, everything now is just, it's comical, but it's so scary that it's comical. You know, it's just very worrisome. I mean, you had Biden turn around and ask about the pipeline from Russia, and he said, we're going to take care of it. Don't worry. We're going to take care of it. And
yeah.
And a little while, I don't know how long exactly after he said it, but there's three explosions.
But there's more. I don't know if you knew this or not. Do you know about the Baltic pipeline?
No.
So the Baltic
pipeline. I thought
pipeline,
it was the Baltic pipeline.
No, the Nord Stream is owned by Russia, where this one connects Norway to Poland. And
okay.
They tested this Baltic pipeline, which went operational, and it will be fully functional on Saturday. They tested that one. It worked. So somebody, and I don't know who that somebody is, sabotaged the Nord Stream.
And this is natural gas? This is another natural gas pipeline?
Yeah. They ran right alongside it.
And it's... and that pipeline comes from where?
It goes from Norway to Poland.
Uh-huh. It doesn't go with Europe at all?
I posted on it earlier today on Facebook.
Well, I still think our government has something to do with that.
Well, if it's us, if it's NATO, if it's a combination.
Yeah, for sure.
Personally speaking, I don't think the U.S. did it alone.
Well, hopefully we'll soon find out exactly what went on, because eventually we will find out. This was sabotage. Like I said, sabotage, so... Now, hey, how deep are those pipes, you know?
No, I sure don't.
I know the Baltic is deep, so I don't think it went that deep. But, one thing's for sure, because they're saying that Putin did it. It's Russia. Russia had nothing to gain by all they had to do was just turn off the pipeline. That's it. They didn't have to blow it up.
And that was Nord Stream 1 and 2 that they made inoperationable.
Correct.
So why would Russia blow up their pipeline to let Europe have their own?
Makes no sense.
So the idea of Russia doing it to themselves is completely out now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Considering the Nord Stream... The Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines have a joint annual capacity of 110 billion cubic meters, more than half of Russia's normal gas export volumes. So it's 1,224 kilometers long. It consists of two parallel pipelines with nameplate annual capacity of 27.5 billion meters each. So that is Nord Stream 1, and Nord Stream 2 is another one. So with them both combined, they can do 110 billion cubic meters of that's their capacity each year. And so that kind of counts out, you know, Russia doing this to themselves, because that is half of their fuel export revenue there.
Yeah, that's a moneymaker for them.
Yeah, why would they just sabotage what they do and let Europe make their money and Russia starves themselves out? I don't think there's anybody out there that would spend that much money only to blow it up on themselves.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. What?
And while we're discussing that region still, you know, what about this election that they just recently had? And for the Democrats, of all people, to be saying that it was a stolen election, they'll declare as an election overseas stolen, with the Russians having Ukrainians vote to annex. They won't accept those results. They refuse to accept those results. And look at who they blamed everything on losing 2016, the Russians.
Yeah.
The Russian was the boogeyman that they needed so bad. I'm not saying Putin's not a turd, but what I am saying is that Zelensky's no angel either.
Correct.
And
he's not innocent in all this.
No, he is not. He's just, you know, the Ukrainians are just as crooked as the other guys. And the only reason we're all there is so that the big guy gets his 10%.
Yeah, I'm going to say, though, that let me put it this way. I think Ukraine might be more dirty than Russia, but that's only because you're getting Ukraine, you're getting Europe, and you're getting the United States, whereas Russia is just Russia.
Yep.
Not saying they're better. I'm just saying it's worse because there's more players involved.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yep, totally.
I agree. And why is Zelensky so cocksure and confident that he's going to get everything that he asked for? And it's because they have so much dirt on this administration and the Biden family.
And
he's
then
got
you have,
us right in
you have Mitch McConnell today out there with this partial government shutdown, and Mitch McConnell's first words are, before we figure out this next budget increase, we need to figure out how to get more money to Ukraine more quickly.
Hmm.
The hell with that. They have gotten more
from us. Sorry, I'll wait. Go ahead.
Well, we've given them, you know, monetary, you know, currency in the billions, and the weapons and the arms and the drones and the missiles and all of that is not included in that monetary value, in dollars amounts that we're giving them. So we're giving them billions of dollars in weaponry on top of billions of dollars in cash.
Here's what I don't understand about budget increases and this government shutdown stuff. So every 3 to 6 months, they go back and argue, and then they do stuff like, in order to fix this budget, we need to spend more money on the Ukraine. I don't know where spending money is equal to fixing the debt. If somebody has ideas, you could tell me. But as far as I'm concerned, figuring out how to spend more money is not the way to lower your debt. Vito, I sent you that article with the Baltic Pipeline so you could check it out.
Yeah, Proof. Yeah. Listen, I had to change my my Facebook.
Oh.
So I'm not sure if you're sending it. I'm not sure if you're sending it to, I don't see, hold on a second.
Well, I didn't send it to any new Facebook, so that would be the old one,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it was the old one, and that one I have no access to.
All right.
Looks like we have a Florida caller holding.
Let's take a look. Okay. Yeah, if you want to bring them on, go ahead. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air with the Proof Negative Show.
Yeah, Nathan in Orlando. You know, I'm going back a little bit because everything you said after that makes sense. When you hear these people stand in front of you and they answer your questions and they don't answer your question and you follow up on it and they keep giving you this dumb, uncommon, no common sense, just it's actually stupid. What they're really doing is, and they keep talking to you like they're stupid, but they know that eventually you will begin to become stupid. Your mind will get lazy, and then they can say that the only reason Trump won is because he was colluding with the Russians to help him. And you know what? You will begin to believe that once they start presenting their case. I'll tell you something I did back in 2016. There's a Christian group called Barna Research. They did their studies, and they were telling us all of the Republican policies that the Christian church in America, the majority of the church, and it was like Cruz, Rubio, and Santorum was their first choice. And it was basically Santorum. And, okay, I contacted them, and I said, listen, you guys are off base. You're telling us what we want to believe, so we'll go do it. But I've listed off, and the lady hung up on me. I was trying to show her what the regular media is doing, but y'all ain't paying attention. Billy Graham, the preacher that spoke to more people in all of history, other than the guy that wrote the majority of the New Testament, could fill a stadium up with months and months of preparation. Trump in 2 days can fill up a stadium. When the people show up, you can't tell me that these other polls are showing that. So he's the people's choice. The lady, her last name was Barna. She hung up on me. And guess what? Everybody's seen later that what the Republican, the Democrat media, and the Christian media, whichever versions you want in the Christian media, was telling us what we want to do is not what it was. But if we would have listened to them, we would have said, well, I got to vote for this Republican over this one because he can't win. And that's what they do to us is make us think that, but you got to follow the people, and I'll give you another example of that. Recently, this past summer, at a meeting here, a rally here in Orlando, Governor DeSantis bragged about the Republicans now have more, 200,000 more registered voters than the Democrats did. And I contacted his office and I said, you need to look at the no party affiliates. I'll give you a good example of what it looks like. If you go to the Orange County, that's where I live in Orlando, the Orange County Supervisor of Elections, 41% are Democrats, 25% is Republicans, and 31%, almost right now, 32% is no party affiliates. The people are saying the Republicans ain't doing what they're supposed to do.
They're not.
And so, but you know what? The Republicans could get sucker punched in this next election and blame it on election fraud if these no-party affiliates, or they're called independents in other states, if they don't show up, they're going to be yelling. You know, a lot of people make it easy for them to believe that the Democrats stole this election, too. you know. And the truth is, what we need to do is we need to read the Constitution the way we read traffic signs. Don't read into it, because if your co-driver tells you we need to be doing keeping up with the traffic so we don't slow down the flow, well, the cop's going to be telling the speed limit was 55, you're doing 70. Yeah, but if I slow down, it starts clogging it. Well, that's not what it says. The stop sign didn't say merge or yield because you couldn't see any cars coming. Yeah, it says stop. And that's the way we need to read the Constitution. And if you read the Constitution, there is no closed primaries in any state. There is no two-party system. And one of the things I got real mad about in the last election, everybody's mad at Mike Pence because he didn't certify the election. The 12th Amendment says that the Congress and the Senate certifies the two elections. The president gets certified by the Congress, the vice president by the Senate, and the only job or duty that the vice president has is he opens the envelope. I guess today it would be equivalent would be hit the send button. But he's not the one, and this is how much we don't know what the document says. And there is no electoral college because it says two distinct elections. The vice president and the president is two distinct elections. And that's repeated throughout the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Amendments. And that's what we need to be getting back to, because if we don't, these people are going to keep telling us this stuff, talking to us like we're stupid, and then we're going to be listening to the different explanations. And some of it will make sense, and some people will fall for it. And we've seen that, because I know people that if you bring up Trump, they start cussing like he robbed the bank on a camera, and nobody will admit it, you know. And that's how much they really believe this, because what you think, here's the thing, whoever gets the mind gets the heart. Whoever got your heart owns everything, you know. And so we need to keep challenging them on these lies, and don't just sit there and listen to them and just say, okay, I'm just going to listen to what you say and not respond. And we don't have media people up there doing that. But that's all I got. I'm just getting my therapy.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing your voice here, Nathan.
Yes, sir. Y'all keep talking. I'm going to keep listening.
Hey, I want to ask you, though, how bad was it for you with that hurricane?
Well, it wasn't real bad for me, and I was thanking God, but my neighbor's fence got down, and some of his stuff got thrown across the neighborhood. I seen a couple trees fall. I got my tree trimmed up about 2 weeks ago, because it looks like a skeleton with his arms up in the air. So if it did fall over, it's not going to fall on my house. But down in South Florida, I was looking at, I went to a site today. I don't even know how I ran into it, but I went to it, and I seen a link, and I linked onto it, and they got literally cities underwater. You can see the houses are underwater. We had one neighborhood here where they were showing this firemen on boats. I mean, I'm not talking about paddle boats. These were motor boats, with people evacuating them out, and it's in some suburb here in Orlando. I don't remember which one it was. I was looking at the pictures more than I was reading. But it hit different sections. I went out afterwards to get some stuff, find a place to get some stuff, eventually found one place open, and there's a lot of flooding in the streets. But down south, they got hit hard. They got hit real hard. There's literally, I've seen pictures of houses that look like a trash yard, just a bunch of trash, and you can see some of the houses are missing, and some of them are just tore up. That was down, I'm trying to remember, God, I can't even remember, but it was up in way down in South Florida where it first hit. Fort Myers got hit real bad, and I slept through it. And got up today and went out, and just one part of a fence I got that I already bought the panels to replace because they're old and a little bit, you know, weak, that fell over, so I didn't lose anything. Some of the soffit around my roof on the back and part of the side was a little bit, you know, some of them were shaken out of place. my neighbors next door, they got one of those plastic panel fences. It's in my yard. So it's going to be some recovering, especially down south. Serious recovering. Uprooted lives in some sense, you know.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Miami was that bad, but I saw the Fort Myers, Sarasota side was terrible.
Yeah, if you got what I'll do, if you don't mind, I'll get online and try to find some of the stuff I've seen, and if I find it, I'll go into your chat room and put the links in there. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna hang up and keep listening. Y'all keep keep saving America. We need it.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye bye.
All right.
Yeah, there we go. That was Nathan out of Orlando. So Orlando is still standing, folks. We have confirmation Orlando is still standing.
That's why I said that if anybody ever goes to moves to Florida or Ocala, which is just north of Orlando, might be one of the safer cities to go to. Literally, if you're in the middle of the state, you should be better than most.
Yeah, I spent time down in Fort Myer and then Key West last fall when I went to the Trump Kelly Chewbacca fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago. And it's just flat land there. I mean, there's not much there to hold the ocean back. You can say that. But that's coming from the girl that's got, you know, I've got the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, well, the Gulf of Alaska, I don't know, 20 feet from my bedroom window. So just the price of hay living along the water. Storms.
I'm trying to remember where we were before we took the caller.
We were talking about election interference and Russia, and you know, the usual. That's where we were.
Okay. All right, so we could start fresh with something else. That's fine.
All right.
So I sent you a couple of articles, Dahl.
Okay.
I think I want to go with the Elton John one first. I don't know if you heard about this, Dahl or Vito, or the audience out there. This one was kind of weird. So there was a concert with Elton John in Washington, D.C. And this one, I don't know how to word this properly, because if you say it the right way, it makes sense. But the way he said it, it is not the way to say it. So during this ceremony, Brandon wrapped his arm around Elton John and he told the crowd, "By the way, it's all Elton John's fault we're spending $6 billion in taxpayer dollars on HIV and AIDS this month." So I don't know if you heard that right or if you want me to clarify, but he insinuated it was Elton John's fault, the way that it was insinuated here, that it's all Elton John's fault we're spending this money on AIDS and HIV.
Let's see how this sounds when I play it here. All right, we're going to try this.
By the way, all his fault that we're spending $6 billion in taxpayer money this month to help AIDS fight HIV/AIDS.
He couldn't even get HIV/AIDS right. He had to say HIV/AIDS, HIV, or AIDS, HIV/AIDS.
Yeah, but it's all his fault.
It's all his fault. I know, exactly. No, we're brought here, you know, under this, umbrella of philanthropy and, you know, goodwill. No, he's just, not good. Not good. Did not go over well. And it's funny, too, because this article's out of the Gateway Pundit, and it says here, wow, Joe Biden wraps his arms around Elton John and then tells the crowd, quote, it's all his fault we're spending $6 billion on HIV and AIDS this month. And it goes on to say, Joe Biden and Dr. Jill, in a tight-fitting plastic bag, honored Elton John last night in Washington, D.C. Poor Elton. During the ceremony at one point, Joe Biden wrapped his arm around Elton and told the crowd, by the way, it's all his fault we are spending $6 billion in taxpayer dollars on HIV and AIDS this month. Why is that, Joe? It's his fault because he's gay? What the hell, Joe? And for the record, Joe has no idea what he's talking about once again. According to HIV.gov, the U.S. spent $7 billion on AIDS funding in 2020. The U.S. spent $7.2 billion on AIDS funding in 2021. And the U.S. spent $7.4 billion in AIDS funding in fiscal year 2022. So it's not clear where Joe pulled that number from. Is the U.S. spending $6 billion a month on AIDS at this point? There needs to be a readjustment. So, end of the article. End of quote. No. Quote, end of quote. No, but yeah, so that was from the Gateway Pundit. No, that was a good one.
Yeah, I don't know where, and it's not even the dollar figures. It was just the inflection on how it was told. But no, I guess the audience didn't catch up on that. They were so happy to see Elton John, and they were just applauding probably for Brandon to get off the stage.
Kind of like his own little Coachella. Getting over the Brandon act so that they can see Elton John.
Yeah, I don't know.
We were discussing, we used Coachella as a reference yesterday about waiting out, skipping one band or sitting through a crappy band so you could be front row for the good guy. So, yeah, everybody just went to go see Elton John, but they had to suffer through Biden to do it.
That's just embarrassing. And nobody called him out on it. Everybody's going to say you're making stuff up.
Well, I had sent you an article from Breitbart, and it references Biden administration appoints Ron Klain's wife diplomat for plants and animals.
Yeah,
so
I was
for those
ask
that
you,
don't know
who's
Ron
Klain.
It's Biden's chief of staff. It's his wife. This guy's wife just got appointed. So. All right, so this is out of Breitbart, and so the State Department announced Thursday a decision to appoint President Joe Biden's White House Chief of Staff's wife to serve as diplomat for biodiversity and water resources. Secretary of State Antony Blinken appointed Monica Medina, the wife of President Joe Biden's chief of staff, Ron Klain, as the new special envoy for biodiversity and water resources. The position was newly created to send a message, the statement said, as a symbol of Biden's commitment to resolving the world's intertwined biodiversity and water crises. Decades of evidence show that water security is essential to global efforts to increase equity and economic growth, build inclusive and resilient societies, bolster health and food security, decrease the risk of conflict or instability, and tackle the climate crisis. Medina told the Washington Post in an interview she wanted the United States and every nation to, get this, conserve 30% of their land and water for the sake of preserving the planet. The United States and every nation to conserve 30% of their land. Biden had already announced his goal of conserving a third of America's land and waters by the year, no surprise, 2030. She stressed the importance of conservation to prevent climate change. If we can solve the biodiversity crisis, we are a long way along the way to solving the climate crisis. We're a long way along the way to solve it. See, she's got word salad too. But, yeah, 30%, a third of land holdings and whatnot, you know, that's not just waterways or anything. These are marshlands and estuaries and, you know, you name it, wetlands. Yeah, that's a slippery slope. And, of course, to meet that 2030 agenda.
You know what's funny, though, with that 2030 agenda? They're really scared of that new Italian prime minister. So much that YouTube is now starting to take down all her videos.
Yeah, she's a huge threat to the progress they've made so far in their agenda of, you know, universal income and shutting down primary industries.
I have a big question, Dahl. So how is that not considered election meddling if they tell you point blank, if you vote for said person, we're going to put sanctions against your country? And those are people that are in power in Italy.
Yeah.
So is election meddling
legal
now?
I wouldn't even call it meddling. I'd call it being coercive. That's coercion.
But that's acceptable now, so... Just like in 2024, if they tell us that if you don't vote for Michael Robinson Obama, who everybody knows is a nice lady, then we're going to automatically put gas at $30 a gallon. That would be considered acceptable?
Yeah. No, unacceptable, of course, but to their agenda, yeah. Check your messages I just sent you.
No, I heard you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't hear him in the background, but if I do, I'll figure it out.
Here. Okay, I unmuted it again. Well, listen, I can hear it.
All right. If Vito's not there, he's not there. That's all.
Okay. No, like he's snoring on the hair.
Tell you what, I cut him. He'll think his phone dropped, and he'll call back if he's awake. If not, then good night, Vito, and thank you.
I didn't want you to think it was me. I'm awake. Okay. Yeah, well, that's the East Coast for you. It's getting late out there.
So, yeah, we have enough stories to cover. And if we stay the whole 3 hours or not, I don't really care right now. I didn't know what to expect all week, being sick Tuesday. Yesterday, I was starting to somewhat feel better while my show was going on, but then I ran out of voice. But today, I feel like I'm about 80% back.
Yeah, you're holding your own so far. No coughing fits yet.
That's true. Yeah, I'm still in shock about how something I've eaten on a regular basis for years could have almost killed me.
Yeah. You won't be having macaroni and cheese for a while, huh?
I guess not. But you realize I'm going to try to eat some, not this weekend, but I'm going to try to eat stuff like that on a Friday or Saturday, so I know if I have a reaction. Because I want to see if that was a one-time thing or if that's going to be consistent. So the only way to find out is, I don't want to duplicate exactly, but I wasn't going to eat it today, but I've actually been thinking about having a cheeseburger of all things.
Well, I always say you crave what your body needs. Not all the time. Sometimes you are prone to make some bad choices, but overall, you know, I think that whenever I decide what I'm going to eat, it's mostly based on what my body is asking for. You know, if I'm low in iron, I'll crave shrimp or oysters or leafy greens, you know, that kind of stuff.
My wife laughs at me because whenever we go out, the first thing I look for is fish and chips.
That was my dad, too. He always went right for the fish and chips. I was like, Dad. And he goes, they always have fish and chips. Always, you know, you're never going to be disappointed.
That's true, though. And when they offer coleslaw and hush puppies along with the fish and chips, even better.
Oh, my goodness sake.
So if we're ever out at lunch again, if we're ever out at lunch or dinner again, Dal, yeah, you know my go-to dish.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You know, and I love to try all different kinds of food. So, like, I'll tend to order, like, two or three appetizers. Just, you don't have to eat them all. You just have to eat the best bites at least, you know, and try different stuff because we don't have a lot of restaurants where I live. So, and I'm always the primary cook. But I did make I took a filet of salmon, king salmon, and I made a pocket in this big, I call it a roast, a salmon roast, and like big chunk of fish. And I cut it in the middle and I stuffed it with onions and fresh prawns. And cooked it, and then put a drizzled like a yogurt and dill dressing on top of it, and then served it on a bed of arugula for dinner. And oh, it was so good! I ate too much.
Yeah, when I grill salmon, but one of my secret ingredients is sour cream. Actually,
yeah, sour cream or yogurt is always a good go-to. A little bit of brown sugar never hurts either.
Brown sugar, really?
But, yeah. I always rub my fish with just a little bit. Not a lot, you know, a tablespoon on the big chunk of fish and over the top.
Okay.
And it'll kind of help lock in some of that moisture, create like a glaze that'll lock in some of that steam will go back into the fish and keep it real moist and flaky. You never want to overcook or undercook the fish. But, yeah, that's why I was so eager. I was like, oh, we weren't sure if I was going to co-host tonight. And then I was like, oh, gosh, I'll be just a minute. And I didn't want to leave the leftovers out on the counter for 3 hours downstairs. Not only would it stink, and I'd probably have a bear like at the back door.
Well, we could have taken a break. It's not a big deal. Or you could have taken a break. I don't really care. A lot of times I breaks because I – as you know, we don't get a lot of new commercials coming up in here, so I get tired of hearing the same ones all the time.
No, I got it put away right before the show. That's why I said I'll be just a minute at the beginning of the show when I texted you, because I was like, oh, I put this fish away now so that it's nice and safe. But, oh, my gosh, yeah, it was really good. It's that time of year where we've got fresh salmon, so.
I'll tell you my favorite thing to cook. Right now is turkey thighs in the air fryer.
Oh, yum.
Have you had deep fried turkey?
Yeah, I have a couple times. I like it. Yeah, and I do like, I have a rotisserie for the air fryer, and I get like the little 4-pound chickens, and I'll do them in there. Roast them on that little rotisserie, and oh, they're so good. And it cooks so fast, but it won't hold a very big bird. So it's got to be like when there's just a couple of us home. It's not practical if I've got, you know, all the kids home and stuff. We never use it.
All right, there's only 3 more left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I like turkey thighs are like my favorite thing right now. I coat them just like you would a chicken, I guess, with your flour, your egg wash, your breadcrumbs, and then I season up the breadcrumbs how I like them. And on 400 degrees, I do like 390, I think, somewhere between 375 and 400. So I'll do like 390, and I'll do 25 minutes on one side and 20 minutes on the other. It still takes a while, though. But it in about 45 minutes, you have a really good finished product.
Oh, it sounds delicious. Sounds really good. I canned up apple butter today.
Yeah, you were telling me about that yesterday.
Yeah. So I got it. It took 2 days for me to cook down all the apples, and I started out with 2 big, huge crock pots, and by the time everything condensed and cooked down, it was down to 1 crock pot. And so I just went ahead and let it cook down more, and I didn't get very many jars, but I finally got them water bathed and stuff, and then I've got a big, huge batch of winter chanterelles I need to freeze, and
what's
I was going to
do
that tonight. They're winter chanterelle mushrooms.
That's right, mushrooms, yes.
Yeah, wild mushrooms. So yesterday I got hedgehog mushrooms and the winter chanterelle. And then when I go back to the other island, I will pick the golden chanterelles, which I prefer over the other two. But the other two are good, too. But, you know, they have so many minerals and calcium and iron and all kinds of things that you just can't get or metabolize, you know, from a pill. I mean, you can get them in a pill, of course, but you can't metabolize them like natural foods. So, and getting out there too, it's so much fun to be out in the woods and crawling around, and you see everything from a different perspective when you're mushroom hunting.
Well, but I'm sure when it, and maybe now it's okay, but from November through February, I'm sure it can't be that fun to hunt in the woods.
Oh, no, no. No, no, it's all snowy and stuff. The only thing we're hunting for at that point is either you're running a trap line for wolves or, you know, critters like mink and marten and stuff, beaver, or you're hunting for deer for food. So that's a different kind of hunt altogether. And
yep,
just as fun. And a different perspective, you know. There's nothing like fresh meat. One of my nephews brought me a deer early on in the season, right when the season opened. And I think the deer lasted, I don't know, probably about 4 days of feeding my crew. So we worked through an entire deer in 4 days. So
in either your new house or your old house, will you be able to run like tower garden type stuff? I'm not saying tower garden exactly. I'm just saying, can you run a hydroponic?
Yeah, yes and no. It's, you require light, and Ian Jacklin was selling them, and the solutions and the light and even the low grow pods, they don't ship them to Alaska. So what has to happen is they have to be shipped to Seattle, and then somebody has to go pick up the big, huge crates and take them to the barge company and then ship them to me from there. And by the time I pay for shipping, I am paying almost, you know, $800 for shipping. And it's just not feasible. We have a hydroponic garden in our village that goes year round, and it's community based. So, yeah, I would love one. We tried to figure out a way to get one to me, and it just, in for replacement parts and stuff like that, I would have to go through all those same shipping logistics. So it was a big, huge letdown. He worked really hard to, you know, he did a lot of research, and we just couldn't get him up where I lived.
Yeah.
Because the chemicals, they can't fly them on the airplanes. And we get our mail on a float plane. So it doesn't, yeah, it just doesn't happen. There's lots of things that won't ship to us. Some stuff just doesn't even make sense. Like I tried ordering a electric roasting pan, and they refused to ship to our area because of shipping logistics. And I'm like, a roasting pan? Come on. Amazon gets everything else here. But a lot of things, even with Amazon, it's got big red letters, not available in Alaska. Not available in Alaska. It's like, ah. So
I wonder if it's any help now, since Canada finally agreed to not require scams and gene therapies in order to cross the border.
Yeah, but you still have to take a boat or airplane to get where I live. You can't drive from Canada to where I live. I live on an island.
Right.
That's the logistic that's hard. That's why building our house has been such a pain in the ass. Everything's got to be shipped on a barge and then trucked across an island, like 120 miles across an island one way. So that it is heaven on earth, and once I get my house finished, you and your wife will have to come and check it out.
Yeah, I can't vouch for coming in the winter, but I can see about a summer.
I wouldn't have you in the winter. Wintertime is nothing's going on. The roads are closed. Pretty much you're shut off except for when the float plane comes in and out with groceries.
Is it
Sitka
or is
mail.
It the other city?
Prince of Wales.
Okay.
Prince of Wales. And Sitka is shut down too. There's only, you know, what, maybe 18, 16 miles of main paved road, like the main thoroughfare from one side of the island to the other. And you got, you know, thousands of people perched on the edge of nowhere.
Well, I was
going
to say, if you like had an Arby's there or something, I doubt they would close for the winter.
No, we have a McDonald's, and I've never been there, but they're open year round. Yeah, we have McDonald's. We have a couple of restaurants. You know, things stay open in Sitka year-round, but Prince of Wales, Coffin Cove, no.
So you don't have an actual restaurant that stays open year-round in Prince of Wales?
We do on the other side of the island, but you can't really get there reliably because of, you know, ice road. So,
okay.
I mean, if you want to drive, 240 miles round trip and hope to God you make it alive, it's not worth the burger.
Wow.
You stay home and have that.
So in the winter, you're talking, that's like a five-hour drive in the winter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's scarier than, it's scary proof. And yeah, you don't go unless there's an emergency. Fortunately, like I can catch the float plane down at the dock and take it to Ketchikan and then catch a jet from there. So I don't have to drive to the other side of the island to take the wheeled plane to Ketchikan to get the jet. So... It's remote. It's a very remote place, and it's I love it. That's why we live there. People are overrated sometimes.
Well, especially if there's FEMA camps and stuff involved that don't exist.
Exactly, and you take like some place like Prince of Wales. It's the third largest island in North America. Third largest island in the United States. You got Big Island of Hawaii, you got Kodiak Island, and then Prince of Wales Island. Well, Prince of Wales Island, we've only got maybe 2,000 people on the entire island. Because there's towns and there's native villages. Like there's like five or six sizable native villages there. But on that entire island, so we have, there's not one stoplight on the entire island. There's no cell service on 90% of the island. You get these little enclaves in the Indian villages where they have cell service for cell phones, but not where I live. So they say it's coming. And I was like, I don't really miss it when I'm out there at all. I'm glad I have the Starlink now, and that's a huge upgrade in lifestyle, and it's going to help a lot of families with education.
Yeah, so is it because Linda Murkowski's the senator as to why... It snows so much in Alaska, so if they elect a Democrat, it won't snow as much?
Well, that would be climate change. No. Yeah, Murkowski, she's got to go. She's got to go. She's neck to neck. We've got this ranked choice voting, so we've got a Republican, and a Democrat running against each other. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I can't believe that there's ranked choice on the ballot this year for us. I guess they found a scam.
Nope, it is one of the biggest Democratic scams ever. It is the weirdest. I don't know. It's weird how it works. You know, you get, not only do you get, everybody's a winner. I feel like everybody feels like they get a trophy because they get to pick their first choice and their second choice and their third choice and their fourth choice. It's really, really confusing. And when the Democrats and the socialists and the left cry about disenfranchised voters and social and equity and language barriers being taken down and stuff. Ranked choice voting is very, very confusing. And If you do not have a strong grasp on the English language and what things mean, you know, or you're not really literate, or English is not your first language, or whatever, you know, you're dyslexic, or your reading comprehension is not there, you're not going to vote because it's too damn confusing. When you have to have an instruction pamphlet to tell you how to fill out a ballot correctly, that's just too much. And they have spent so much money pushing this in Alaska. I believe that, I want to say Maryland has a local election that do the ranked choice vote. But I don't know of the states that have it. But yeah, ranked choice voting is no good. It's confusing. It's meant to mislead, and they don't want people to vote.
Well, I guess they figure if it's hard, well, of course it's hard. Just vote Democrat all the way down. You'll be okay. That's what they want.
Exactly. Exactly. And, it is just a weird. And then also what it does, too, is it gets, when you've got your, you know, instead of primary just being down to two people, you're down to more than two people. You're down to first, second, third, and fourth. And it makes no sense at all.
So is it possible if enough people put you as third place and not first or second that you could win?
Yes.
Okay, yep. That makes no sense.
Yep.
Because I don't see people on the presidential ballot saying, well, I want DeSantis, but my second choice would be Michael Robinson Obama because she's a nice lady. Either you're with one or you're with the other. You can't be for both. You can't have a capitalist society and then as a second choice you want to vote communist. That's not how it works.
Okay, I was wrong. Okay, so ranked choice voting is used for state primary, congressional, and presidential elections in Alaska and Maine. So this is our first time using ranked choice voting in Alaska. This primary, so we haven't done it by presidential election yet. So Alaskan and Maine uses it for their state and blah blah blah. And then for local elections in more than 20 U.S. cities use it. Cambridge, Massachusetts, San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, San Leandro, Tacoma Park, Maryland, and some other ones. I don't know. A lot of people like it. They feel like they're getting more of a, now they feel like they're getting four votes instead of one, and that's how they push it. It's also supposed to uplift the lesser parties, not lesser parties, but like the independents that never make it to the primaries and the libertarians that never make it to the, you know. So if you're a Republican and you don't want to vote Democrat second, and that's another thing is you don't have to take your four votes. You can just pick your one vote. You can pick your first choice and leave the rest of the ballot unchanged. But then there's the risk of somebody filling in the other three because you can't trust the electorate, you know. Some of the people criticize, you know, some of the things about ranked choice voting is it's too complicated. It really only helps the Democrats. The person with the most votes ironically can lose. Your vote might not count if it's exhausted. And it violates one person, one vote. Yeah. If your candidate never made it to the ranking, then your vote was lost. It was exhausted. Well, if your guy doesn't win in the normal election, it's exhausted anyway.
Oh.
Only one vote. And it violates the one person, one vote. It's really, really it's complicated. Yeah. I don't know. So, it's weird. And I didn't vote for it. I'm really curious how long it'll last in Alaska because it really did not, it was not well received, and it leads me to wonder who really voted for this. And of course it was Murkowski that pushed for it.
So I need to vacate the area for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and we haven't played Broccoli Man yet, so I was hoping I could show you an episode that you didn't see.
All right. I've got it on my screen here.
So we did the Mormonda Greens yesterday, but I want to show you the original one.
All right. Cool. I'm ready when you are.
All right. So we'll count down. Hold on here. I still got to put it up on my switchboard. I forgot. All right. So I'll count down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. You'll have a change in your plans today, green dude. You're now under arrest, sir.
Why are you bothering me today?
Shut up, Biasnitch. You'll only do as I say. I heard you were spreading misinformation regarding the student loan forgiveness plan. You are highly upset about having to pay for someone else's student loans. Have you no shame, sir? We believe in our education out here on these mean streets. Instead, you are only wanting Trump's mean tweets. Why in the bleep do you still support MAGA?
Look, I did not force you to go to school. You made a decision on where to go to college and how much it cost. You need to learn how to pay your own bills. I went to a trade school. They paid me to learn instead of getting into debt.
I thought you were a Christian, green dude. If you were a Christian, you would know you have to pay everyone else's debt. Your leader dumb did get up on the cross and pay your debt. The least you can do is be a man and pay for my college debt, sir.
Why can't you be your own man and pay your own debt?
Hey, Biasnitch, didn't I just tell you to zip it? Zip it good. Just for that unnecessary outburst that I am now going to make you go through the TSA naked body scanner. We are finna find out right now, green dude, if your carpet matches the drapes.
Hey, that's great. Okay, see you later. I have to go back to work.
Ha ha, green dude. You thinks you bees is walking away without letting see those delicious kumquats. After I get you into the TSA body scanner and verify your kumquats, we will get in my 1993 Geo Metro and bring you to Geoglobalist Lair. We can listen to my favorite Elton John song, Tony Danza.
Elton John never sang a song about Tony Danza. You are thinking about Tiny Dancer.
That is not the song Green Dude. He specifically says in the song Hold Me Closer Tony Danza. I would so love Tony Danza to give me a great big hug and be my boss.
The song was made in the early 1970s. Tony Danza was not even a well-known actor until about 7 years later. How could he have sang about him? You are getting your facts mixed up.
You are the one spreading misinformation all the days and arresting minor attracted persons. You should be ashamed of yourself, sir. How many bloody times are you going to tell people to look at Hunter Biden's laptop? It is far more important to get your nincompoops and incontinent dolts to worry more about Trump's mean tweets. No one bloody cares that the big guy and his son diddle children's green dude.
No normal human being wants to ever hear that diddling children is okay. I even arrested you for that before.
There is no shame in letting me see your Mr. Johnson, sir. Just like Bon Jovi said in Living on a Prayer. It doesn't matter if we are naked or not. We got each other and that's no lie.
Oh, for crying out loud. You can't even get your song lyrics right. Okay, I gotta go back to work.
I have not released you from my custody. You ain't going nowhere, a little busy. The only place I will allow you is the restroom. Just like Creedence Clearwater Revival sang, I see a bathroom rising. There's a restroom on the right. We can even go together, green dude, and see who is the shortest straw.
I just need to go get out of my way so I can patrol these streets for child predators like yourself. Do you need me to arrest you again?
Just for that poor choice of words, I am now going to take you to that FEMA camp. That does not exist. I am finna treat you like man for man, green dude. Blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, I am the ruler of the night. Now we bees finna get that COVID gene therapy and your moneypox vaccine in the ka-dunk-a-dunk-dunk. You need to get your gene therapies and a heart attack just like we all do, sir.
Look, I'd rather be healthy than be cool. I take my health far too seriously to get those mRNA ingredients into my body.
Sir, if you want to get with me, you are going to need your gene therapy. You also will be able to get COVID just like the rest of us. Even Globalist got COVID after getting a gene therapy. And he is the CEO of Lysnica. Besides, even your criminal president that we raided at Mar-a-Lago to get attention off of us is proud of getting all your or something that cares into those gene therapies.
I do not blindly follow leaders into a slaughterhouse like you try to do.
You just told me the wrong kinds of words, says Green Dude. I'm now going to get those dungarees off you right this instant. Even if I have to do it myself. For all I know, you might have an R15, a meat cleaver, or a King James Bible inside your junk. I am so finna do a thorough crackdown on those cavities right now, Green Dude. A large crackdown, sir. I am also going to need you to bend over so I can have a look see at your anal cavity. I am hereby required to swab your anal region with a 3-foot cotton swab. We're checking for COVID.
Please, educate yourselves out there. Do not let globalists tell you what to believe in.
You take that back, green dude. You dolts, fuss budgets and something duckers need to not educate yourselves out there. You must let globalists tell you what to believe in. We need to get Earth's population to under 500 million and get everyone their microchips.
Anyway, educate yourself. Listen to the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has on great co-hosts, excellent guests, and a lot of information you need to be aware of. Do not put a scam on your face and play Russian roulette with your body. Research everything. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live to listen to Proof. freedomizerradio.com.
How dare you tell the 99% to not listen to me? We need to eliminate the population so we can globally dominate. You are not helping our crime syndicate, green dude. You should be ashamed of yourself for crossing me and G. Globalist.
The New World Order can kiss my. We will defeat you and Satan's minions. We work for God.
All right, I hope that was okay.
Yeah, it was great. You know, that's very much lurking in the background, this constant threat of the next scamdemic, the next, you know, level of tyranny. Even as we're seeing it slowly being peeled away like an onion, you know. And, in fact, the CDC, this last week, says that some nursing homes and hospitals no longer need to require their employees to mask up.
Yeah, that was the final straw, finally.
Yeah, and, of course, a lot of them are staying with it. They're staying with the long, you know, they've got an overabundance of these supplies. They have to, you know, work through them. Mm-hmm. But also, just as our educational institutions have been revealed to be a huge hot box of indoctrination, also we have found our medical communities to be a hot box of medical, disinformation and strange compliance and going with this indoctrination of the left and gender ideology and scamdemics and tyranny and vaccine mandates for their employees and refusing life-saving surgeries for their patients because they wanted them to get the gene therapy.
That's just sad how something that has nothing to do with gene therapies that they'll just decline somebody. Like, oh, I'm not going to fix your broken leg because you didn't get the gene therapy that might kill you.
Yeah. This ideology that pervaded, that was more malignant and dangerous and deadly, I believe, than this cooked up virus ever was. And the symptoms that occurred of this tyranny that just shows how weak-kneed Americans are and people generally all over the world, how quick they are to comply when the science is right in front of them. And our medical, our educational, our military, our entire social structure, infrastructure, the United States has been just infected with this ideology. And it makes zero sense.
I just want to give credit to somebody while Broccoli Man was playing. Cynthia from Red Oak, Texas, wrote in, Proof, good show tonight. I have a question. In Florida, can people with electric vehicles drive in a hurricane?
Highly unlikely.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, because if it's that much rain, and if it's that much flooding, I hope you don't get electrocuted in the car. I'm assuming they have controls to make sure you don't get electrocuted.
Well, they have controls so you don't crash in autopilot, but they crash all the time, so you know. Yeah, very. Astute observation there.
I remember once I had a 1991 Toyota Camry, and this was back in 2010. The car only had like 61,000 miles on it, and I was driving my kids to their mom's house, and my car got hit by lightning, actually. It was just... the only time I've ever seen lightning close up, and I could Sometimes I still hear that sound to this day. So the car ran. I was able to drop the kids off. I dropped myself off, and I woke up the next day. That car never drove again.
Oh, my gosh. And so after you turned it off, it would never turn back on?
Right. And so I had a mechanic looked at it, and he said, well, there's some really weird damage here. You need a new axle, you need a new transmission, and you need a new engine.
Oh, my gosh.
And the day before, it needed nothing.
Are you sure it was not alien?
No, it was thunder and lightning that day, in all fairness. And I thought a car would be able to handle lightning better than that, but I guess it was better than walking and me getting stuck, but that was just weird. I've never experienced anything like that.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Have you had any random encounters like that?
I've been on an airplane when it's been struck by lightning, a couple different airplanes, but everything was okay. All systems were go. Yeah. It's insane.
Sometimes I think about that. I wonder if maybe that wasn't lightning, but it was thundering and lightning that day, and I just heard a big bolt of white just hit the engine. I could see it. My kids saw it. And that was it.
Yeah.
I don't think if the car exploded from the inside that it would still run for a few minutes.
Yeah, that's what's really weird is, like, once you turned it off, it went and turned back on.
No, it needed a lot more. It was like everything. Oh, I didn't even say that. Not just the axle, but everything electronic. It needed about $9,000 worth of repairs.
Yeah, not worth it. In most cases, you know.
Yeah,
it was a lot of money.
It was a 1991 Camry that had 61,900 something miles, but not much I could do there.
No, not at all. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? So quiet on the East Coast.
Yeah, allegedly South Carolina is going to get a hit tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or
Georgia,
it could be this
North
morning.
Carolina.
It could be in a few hours. I'm not staying up to watch for it.
Neither am I. Nothing we can do about it. Not a darn thing.
So just to Broccoli Man for a second to close that out before I move on. So was that episode was okay? You got the gist of what a mondegreen is?
Yeah. And I liked all the music references, Man from Van, everything. It was right in the realm of music, like trivia, where I could understand all the references to Tony Danza, Hold Me Tighter, Tiny Dancer.
Believe it or not, with Tiny Dancer, I don't know if I told you or not, but I have a different radio show now, also outside of Freedomizer, one day a week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do a music show now once a week for about an hour.
Oh, fun.
So I do, it's called Proof Sleeper Cells.
That's so cool.
This is all songs that did not do well on the charts, maybe second singles of one-hit wonders, songs that actually were popular but didn't do well on the charts, songs that I think everybody overlooked, kind of stuff like that.
Fun.
So I did one episode on songs that only hit number 41, so they were one position away from missing top 40 with Casey Kasem. And Tiny Dancer was one of those songs.
Really?
Yeah.
That was never a top 40 song?
No, it got to number 41.
Oh, I had no idea. You would have thought it was a top 40.
So the Cars had three songs that were stuck at number 41.
What were those?
You would have to ask me right now. I don't remember them offhand. Let the Good Times Roll was one of them.
No, really? That's an awesome song.
Let's see, It's All I Can Do was the a second one, and I got to think about the third one. Bob Seger had a bunch of songs that got stuck between 41 and 50 also.
I wonder who he pissed off.
Yeah, like Kathmandu, I couldn't play on the show. I played on a different show of songs that missed the top 40, but Kathmandu got to number 43.
Huh.
And ZZ Top's LaGrange was one of the more popular number 41 songs. And
yeah, I would have said a lot of those have been top 40 songs.
The best number 41 song that charted but only got to number 41, meaning that they spent the most weeks on the Hot 100 but didn't make the top 40, was Nine Inch Nails' Closer.
That was a good one.
So, yeah, I do stuff like that now.
Right on. A little extra time on your hands.
I don't know about extra time, but I did it for and I don't even know how many, this guy that wanted the show, they own like 8 stations, and they wanted a show like that, and they play our Barefoot is Legal show, and I don't know if it's on one station or multiple, but they own 8 stations.
Right on. How fun. Good for you.
So I figure it's a way to just get Freedomizer out there, get the nonprofit out there, and do something different.
Exactly. Engaging. Very engaging. And fun. Like I said, I would have never known that those were never made it to the top 40. They're all familiar songs, and I always assume that, you know, it would have to be top 40 if I heard it, because I don't have a lot of time to, or inclination to be, you know, studying that kind of stuff. I just assume if it's on the radio, it was popular.
Well, there's a couple of songs that I was very surprised about when doing my research. The Rolling Stones. You Can't Always Get What You Want only got to number 42.
Whoa. Now, are these are just U.S. Billboard charts, right?
Yeah.
Not worldwide?
Yeah, not counting England or any other random country.
Okay.
And my favorite Rolling Stones song, Street Fighting Man, if you know that song.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that one only got to number 48.
See, not surprising that I don't recognize that one.
No. Anyway, after this, if you can just check, if you can check YouTube for a minute and check out Street Fighting Man, that's my favorite Rolling Stones song ever.
No, I'll have to check that out.
So yeah, there's a whole, I don't want to say genre necessarily, but there's a lot of songs out there that radio stations got completely wrong. And the rule
well,
is
I think
usually,
like a...
the rule is that the song had to have been attempted to be released as a single. So it's not like I'm going on, say my favorite band of all time is INXS, and I'm pulling something that was never released as a single. Well, of course it's not gonna be on the top 40. It was never released as a single. I'm looking at it specifically from songs that were released and just never did anything. Like most of Led Zeppelin's songs never made the top 40. Pink Floyd only had two top 40 hits their whole career.
Yeah, and they're iconic. I mean, they're known worldwide. But
yeah.
Then you have, you know, some... But then you have on the flip side, you have some of these one-hit wonders that, you know, people worldwide that don't even know, but that were top 40 in America, but they only had one song, but worldwide they weren't known. I'd rather be known worldwide and be number 48 than to be only known by the United States and known for one song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's longevity in that, and going the extra mile. Staying with it, that's it.
Yeah, do you have a favorite band of all time or any that would rank in the top five or anything?
Yeah, definitely. We have a common one, Depeche Mode. Definitely.
Yeah,
one.
Remember that from yesterday.
Stone Temple Pilots. Tom Petty, he's one of the iconic for me. I love Tom Petty.
By the way, Stone Temple Pilots, with their new lead singer, is doing a free concert downtown here in a couple weeks.
Ah, no way.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails, Nirvana. I like all kinds of music, but I think like my favorite jamming music, you know, if I'm putting my earbuds or something, it's something like that though.
So
I
you like
that
the 90s
heavier. Yeah, I like more of the alternative bands and stuff if I'm just trying to tune out. I do love Kid Rock, you know, like he's pretty mainstream. Really, like, he's got all kinds of styles of singing and music he does and artistic capacity and whatnot. But, yeah, I like all kinds of stuff, though.
See, I guess I went from top 40 to 80s alternative to 90s alternative. And then I hit the electronica scene in 1996. And I haven't found a new genre of music to like.
Yeah, it works, though. I mean, if it makes you happy, get to a certain point.
Oh, I would love
I mean,
to
at
find
least
a new genre of music. Are you kidding? I'm not saying there's no bands that I don't like, but as a whole, I'm like bored of music.
Bored of music.
Well, it's like every 10, 12 years, there's supposed to be a new genre that comes out. And all we have is what's called mumble rap.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
you know, or Lizzo. Lizzo
yeah,
and the Crystal
that's
Flute.
Not, yeah, that's not going to work for me.
Or was it a clarinet? I can't remember. Flute or clarinet?
It's the flute.
I don't know. I couldn't see past
it. It's the flute.
Yeah, it was hard to see. It was hard to see what she was playing. Couldn't look at anything else.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't help us.
Like Broccoli Man says, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
So it sounds like these liberal Democrat sanctuary billionaire strongholds, you know, such as Colorado and up there in Aspen and Vail, Colorado Senator John Hinkelooper reportedly warned Colorado mountain towns to prepare for the possibility that migrants could be relocated to Colorado, Breckenridge. Oh, Breckenridge Mayor Eric Mamilla said at the Senate Board of County Commissioners, I don't think it's going to happen here in Aspen and Vail, maybe some more high-profile places. But if it does, we need to react quickly like Martha's Vineyard did so that we can do the right thing for these people.
But they advertised
proudly
that they're sanctuary cities, so they're talking out their tuchus.
Yeah. So they're like, well, we've got to be ready and get these people the hell out of here before anybody sees what's going on. And folks, the irony is when these cities and states declare themselves official immigration sanctuary cities, they receive millions and millions of dollars, not only from the federal government, but grants from places like George Soros-based Open Societies and everything else. It's a boon for Planned Parenthood with their abortion mills and human trafficking. They love it. They get a bunch of money too. And the medical nonprofits, they call them the hospitals, get pre-exemplatory funding prior to that as part of these packages. So these people for decades, for as long as they've declared themselves sanctuary cities or states, have been receiving these funds. And up until now, they have not been faced with any kind of immigrant crisis, especially in the likes that we're seeing at the U.S. border. And these people haven't even landed. In fact, Abbott, DeSantis, nobody's even, you know, sending busloads off anywhere right now. And they're already preparing for this. And it's interesting because nowhere in the article do they say this is the worst time to send somebody to Colorado in the dead of winter. You know, what are you thinking? You know, these people could die on the side of the road or get lost in a snowstorm. But they're thinking, holy crap, you know, this is not good. But if Martha's Vineyard did, like we react quickly like Martha's Vineyard did so that we can do the right thing for these people. Now, when this mayor, Amula, in Aspen says is he talking about doing the right thing for these people? Or are they talking about the Denzians of the community, the citizens of the community, or are they talking about the immigrants that they've received millions of dollars for ahead of time, year after year, and never had to deal with? But at the same time, proudly claim inclusivity and immigration, open borders, and stuff reap all the benefits, but don't want to have to deal with the consequences of that.
And the sad thing is that that Martha's Vineyard stuff did not make them look good at all. But they want to roll with that. They think that that's going to help them. You know what I would do? I wouldn't just send one bus. I would send a bus to Vail. I would send a bus to Aspen. I would send a bus to Breckenridge. Not at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to do it at the same time, I guess maybe. But then the next day you want to send one bus to one of those cities or maybe a fourth city, and then the next day you put two buses somewhere, you scatter it so they don't know what to do. Or you find another city.
Yeah, and then I find it really interesting because this mayor said, you know, like I said, and I quoted it a couple times because it's so interesting for this person to say, we need to act quickly and do the right thing for these people. Well, Martha's Vineyard, you know, within 48 hours of those people dusting their boots off, getting off that bus, they were sent to Joint Base Cape Cod, where they're now being held in a military base. And I can tell you, they're not getting free reign of that base. They're in lockup. So what is that saying? So that tells you, if you go to Colorado and you go to these sanctuary cities and you get off a bus, they're going to send you to the nearest holding center, whether it's a detention center, whether it's the sheriff's department, county jail, or if it's a military base. Now, I have the glaring question. Why can we not send, why cannot Abbott enlist the military bases to take the overflows to process these people? But it's okay for the elitists to lock them up. And you mind you, these people only came through into the country illegally, and God only knows what their true identities are and stuff. That aside, you know, I mean, these people have been advocating for this. But they can't put up with it for 48 hours. You know, that is those are the biggest NIMBYs, and they're fleecing the taxpayers. Not even the taxpayers, they're fleecing whoever's funding these open borders, who we know Soros is doing it. But, you know, the millions of dollars, like every year these communities and states receive funding to accommodate the overflow of illegal immigrants and to give them sanctuary. They're paid to do this. Yet when it comes down to it, what do? They take the money and run. In fact, not only do they take the money, they lock the people up. Now, I'm sure those people are pissed and want to sue somebody because they were hanging out in Texas, minding their own business, committing petty crime and selling drugs on the street to make it. And now all of a sudden they find themselves locked up. And they're going to blame DeSantis or Abbott for locking them up. But what it is these sanctuary money-grubbing, taxpayer-fleecing sanctuary cities that don't want them, don't care about them. It's all about the almighty dollar and that badge that says, I'm virtue signing. I'm a good person. Open borders. Equity.
Well, yeah, and they still don't want to do anything about the illegals and the border. They still say that Texas and Florida should have an open border, and I'm still trying to figure out what country Florida borders.
Exactly. And, you know, it was DeSantis didn't even let these people get out of Texas because they knew that eventually they'd make their way to Florida. And I think that's what pissed the liberals off the most is if these people didn't come from Florida. They came from Texas, but DeSantis funded it. And I love it. I think it was brilliant. And it's making these people pony up. Hey, you guys, it's like sending somebody out on a beer run, and they get back to the house with six-pack of beer. Everybody drinks the beer, But then nobody has any money or wants to pay for it, or, you know what I mean, pony up for it. So you guys made all these promises. You sent the guy to the store with to get the beer, promised you had cash, drank his beer, and then you say you have no money. That's what these people are doing, these sanctuary cities are doing to these poor immigrants. They're like, come on over here, open borders, and then they fleece U.S. taxpayers, then they lock up the illegals.
They should
be locked up.
I've been asking
illegal.
This question for a couple of years. How is it that all these migrants came by themselves, but you have a few thousand migrants coming together that says, Brandon, let me in, on their shirt? But they came by themselves and don't know anybody.
Yeah. No, they're coming, and it's like I said, you know, there's huge nonprofits that fund them all along the way, provide bus rides, meals, resting points, cell phones, traveling money, you know, contacts in the U.S. And they get a manual. They're coached along the way, and they're also given manuals to what to say, what to do, how to do it. And, you know, it's easier to get into the United States than it is to get out of it. Because, you know, they've got a bunch of new IRS agents that are patrolling middle America while we've got a border that's bleeding like a punctured femur or femoral artery. So, yeah, not a good thing.
No, but see, the way liberalism works is they just figure they do what they need, what they want to do, and just expect everybody's going to follow them because they have everybody behind them, as far as the media goes. Never mind nobody likes their policies. So that's why they feel so confident that they can literally not do any debates or talk to anybody. They don't have, if you're not a Democrat, you are so far beneath them that they don't want to be seen in the same time zone as you. And they don't realize that people don't want this. They don't care. They don't hear it. They're too far in their own echo chamber that they can't hear anybody.
Yeah, and now, so the immigrants that are the illegal aliens that were flown the vineyard and that are now the ones that have filed a class action suit against DeSantis alleging their Fourth and 14th Amendment rights were violated. A, do they have constitutional rights? They're illegal aliens. They're not even United States citizens. How can they have constitutional rights?
Well, that's a good question.
I know
we've gone back and forth, not just me and you, but we've gone back and forth on this show often where if you're visiting America, do you have a constitution still if you're just visiting?
Exactly. And then, all right, so for example, if I'm from another country and my free speech, my First Amendment right interpretation means saying, hey, N-word, whatever, whatever, derogatory thing, and then I get in trouble, but I say, well, that's my First Amendment right in your country to say what I want. But then they say, but you can't say that. Well, in my country, it says I can't say. So it's left to interpretation. There's it's interesting because we had a caller earlier in the show, Nathan, who brought up the fact that, you know, it's kind of like traffic laws. It's black or white. But then you get into, do these people even have constitutional, you know, and for some which they would want to argue, I don't think they should have constitutional rights. They're here illegally. And therefore, the rules don't always apply to you if you don't play by the rules to begin with.
I'm not that hard and fast with that, though. I'm not saying that they get all rights. But things like, I think that they would deserve to have a fair and speedy trial. I don't think it's fair to keep people locked up like January 6th prisoners.
Oh, no, that, yeah, but then they're committing a civil crime if they are requiring a speedy trial. But their initial crime is breaking into this country illegally, and that is just no pass go. So to me, this is like, all right, so if somebody wanted to argue from the left with me on this point of, do these people have constitutional rights or not? All right, well, then let's argue the right to life. Okay? Is it an embryo or is it a baby? Is it a life or is it just shedded cells? So, I mean, to me, that has the same argument, that is this pro-choice type stuff. You know, you want to argue it's not really a life. Well, I want to argue that this person's not really a citizen, doesn't have constitutional rights. They have rights under the Geneva Convention, but not U.S. constitutional rights. I think those should be only given to U.S. citizens. And everything else should be under international law.
There'd be no way that an illegal should be able to have a firearm because, well, you'd have to be a citizen or... And I know that might be loosely interpreted, I guess.
So if you give them the 4th and 14th Amendment right, then by all means you need to give them the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, you know.
Yeah.
So you can't just pick and choose.
Right.
And that's like with me, it's like, you know, you want to, like I was bringing up the abortion analogy. Some people would say it's not a human until it screams, you know. So that's the same with this. That if you it's all or nothing. It's all life or it's all, you know, or not, or
yeah.
It's all right, civil rights or not. So I think that under international law and Geneva Convention and whatever all that other stuff, that yes, that they have humanitarian human rights but not U.S. constitutional rights. Those are given to people that earn it, the privilege of living here and living under that great constitution. It's not a right for just any Joe Blow in the world. It's a privilege, not a right. It's a privilege.
So, yeah, to answer that, though, because there's no one-way answer, I don't know where you...
Just my
I don't know what the answer is on that. Because there would be things, like I said, where you... And First Amendments, I think, would just me speaking if I was the dude... Honestly, as long as you're not saying to kill certain people or you're inciting violence, I don't care what somebody says, and it doesn't matter to me what country somebody's from, and I don't care who's a Republican and who's a Democrat, and I don't care who hates Trump. I don't want to see somebody getting arrested like that pro-life father of seven who got arrested for... Even after the charges were dropped, the FBI brought him in, and now he's looking at many years in prison for trying to stop his son from going into an abortion clinic. So we're on the other extreme of that. But I don't believe illegals should be able to have weapons either, though.
Exactly.
Because things like that, if they want a Second Amendment, then they would apply to become a citizen so they can get those kind of things. But at the same time, I don't know where do you go, because I'd rather see people not get arrested for whoever the president of the year is makes a decision of. But they made it so easy, and you don't have to do anything to become or keep citizenship.
Yeah.
Why would you even want to become a citizen nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to do something crueler and humane to these illegals, send them to San Francisco, send them to New York, and send them to Seattle and Portland.
No,
see
I was
going
like,
to say, I was
hoping Portland would be next, but I saw that whoever the Republican is in Oregon for governor had like a one-point lead over the Democrat, whoever they are. I don't know them.
Yeah, I didn't know who they were either. Yep.
Maybe Portland is just tired of their city just being beat down every single day. Maybe they learned their lesson. I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe they learned. If not, then they'll have another 4 years of continued crime and hope they enjoy it. They'll get what they want either way.
Yeah, you know, and Seattle is seeing that too. And earlier in the show, we were talking about how it only takes, you know, one or two cities to turn an entire state blue. And, you know, Oregon has a very conservative side, just like Washington State has a very conservative side. But it tends to be your eastern rural counties.
Right.
And it's the same with eastern Oregon and then eastern Washington. King County makes up most of western Washington. And that is they're not even Democrats. They're full-on socialist stronghold. And then, you know, same thing with Oregon. You've got Portland is that, you know, main area. And you got a couple prominent, you got Oregon State University and Oregon State University and then
well, you've got Eugene,
OSU.
Oregon also, which is one of the most liberal cities in America.
Yeah, so that compromises. I think that's in that cluster, in that same big county there. But,
yeah,
so you've got a huge rural base in this concentrated base, and it's polarizing politically. And some of these people, I think some of your most reliable people that vote tend to sadly be the most uninformed. And these are people probably in their 40s to 70s who are like, they'll get their ballot and go, oh, yeah, I recognize this name, and just keep checkmarking it because they recognize that name and nothing burnt down or blew up while this person's name was on the ballot prior. So you get a lot of these people that have been reelected forever, you know. Patty Murray in the state of Washington, I think she's been doing it for 30 years. She's in Congress over there and just do nothing. She's never done anything significant. She's very much like Joe Biden, in Congress for decades, never did anything. Pramila Jayapal or whatever her name, same thing, never did anything. So I think that the only reason these people, like I said, get voted are people get comfortable with names and they are afraid to step out the lines. and they just keep voting the same old crap in over and over and over again.
But I guess the difference is I know Portland is not as big as Seattle, and I think Portland got beat down in downtown Portland a little bit too hard. Whereas Seattle could absorb it, I don't think Portland was able to.
Yeah, and then not only that, the Portland thing, it became a stronghold for Antifa in particular.
Right, that's where I'm going.
Seattle,
yeah,
and so whereas Seattle and Minnesota and some of these other Waukesha and other places experienced more of BLM, Antifa, whatever type scenario. I think that was more BLM. But Antifa has a very long history in the Portland area, in the Pacific Northwest period, California too. They're all over the world, but I mean, like, very strong, visible holds, and they draw in a lot of kids. And these kids get sucked into it. I think they go and recruit at Comic-Con, if you ask me, or whatever it's called.
Oh, wow.
Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Places like that where I'm not saying if you go to Comic-Con, you know, you've got little prospect, but I mean, come on, really. But anyhow, this Antifa stronghold, it permeated neighborhoods and it absorbed a lot, and it cost the people of that region millions of dollars in damages and lost revenue, and not to count the loss of life. So I think people are fed up with it. And then you've got Mayor Ted Wheeler there in Portland, and he was like, oh, we love you, BLM. Oh, we love you, Antifa. And then as they're burning down the building that he lives in, he's like, okay, maybe I don't love you so much. And then he became the bad guy and things escalated. So I hope people are seeing, you know, especially the property owners and business owners and stuff are like, you know, the only way things are going to change is if they bring in fresh leadership. And Oregon's going to get a lot of fresh leadership because they are, Kate Brown is not running for reelection, and I'm sure she's got a administrative position waiting for her with the Biden administration of some kind of appointment. Oh, I'm positive of it. You know, and you're looking at neighbors, Governor Jay Inslee in Washington State serving his third term. Geez, murderers spend less time in prison than Jay Inslee spent in the governor's seat and done less harm. You know, and proof he's still holding on to his COVID emergency orders declarations. The state of Washington is still under emergency orders.
Yeah, for no reason at all.
Yeah, and this marks almost 3 years.
Power. So people that are not intelligent and worried about losing their power try to control the most. People that are popular and likable, they're not worried about people usurping their power, so they don't micromanage. But people that know that people don't like them, they'll rule with an iron fist because if you're not likable, then you have to be a tyrant in order to win. So he's trying to force people to like him. I don't know how that works that way,
yeah.
But that's the Stockholm syndrome.
Exactly, and you know, I mean, you look at the economy in the state of Washington, the infrastructure is suffering. You don't have bus drivers, you don't have ferry cap, you don't have people working on the ferries. Department of Transportation, they've got another, you know, El Nino winter coming up on them in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of people either quit or got fired because of his unconstitutional unscientific jab mandate that he is still to this day mandating. I mean, the fire, the police, you name it. There's a huge employee shortage in all the important social infrastructure because of his mandate. And who wants to move there and fill in these positions and go get jabbed by 20 needles?
Yeah,
I mean, the cost of living is horrible.
Yes.
Homicide.
Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm done.
So how many people are going to move from Oregon to Washington if Oregon turns red? I'm going to say not many.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. The taxes are way lower in Oregon than they are Washington to begin with. But, yeah, I don't see people going, this state has way too much freedom, and my taxes are lower, and crime is down, and I didn't even get carjacked this week. I'm moving. I mean, who's going to say that? Nobody said ever. Come on.
I heard in a chat recently, you can't get carjacked if you don't own a car. Stop driving, you moron.
Oh, my gosh. That makes my brain hurt.
But that's
ridiculous.
Liberal speak, though. So Governor Bruce in California says that people are fleeing California because of Trump's policies. So Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault that Gruesom can't keep his people there. It's not because of high taxes. It's not because of scam and gene therapy mandates. It's not because of homelessness. It's not because of illegals getting better health care than taxpayers. It's not because of rolling blackouts. It's not because that the sale of gas-powered cars was banned when California can't even keep the lights on. But it's Trump's policies. And even the parents of Governor Gruesom's wife made a $5,000 donation to Ron DeSantis in April.
And they moved to Florida.
Yes.
Oh, well, I believe Nancy Pelosi just bought a big property in Florida, too.
Right. Is that because of Trump?
I have no idea.
Governor Gruesom any day can take a look at Ron DeSantis' policies and say, you know what, I want to do that, too. He has that right every day when he wakes up. He chooses not to. What?
I just love it. Because, you know, we're talking about work visas here.
Yeah.
So, and California is the tech capital. It's always traditionally been, you know, one of the tech meccas in the country.
Yeah.
And believe that these people, these tech people, are fleeing to places even like Washington and other states, though, not because of the visa stuff, but because of the cost of living and the income taxes are so much less.
Right.
California is just off the charts. So is, you know, places like New York and a lot of other socialist states, including Washington and stuff. Take Alaska doesn't have income tax. Here, we have federal tax we have to pay the feds, but we don't have personal income. for working, you know, because we're already paying the government. Why should we have to pay twice? But, yeah, people are fleeing the states not because of Trump and his work visa stuff. If they're fleeing the states to these other places, then all Gavin Newsom has to do is make it all better to embrace these changes and stuff to retain these people. He's mad because the guy down the street's having a sale and everybody's shopping there. Yeah, not because of rolling blackouts, heat waves, fires, mandates, record homelessness. Sounds like an A-plus report card, Gavin.
So I have a few people putting on their spy book here from Vegas that they felt an earthquake. I didn't feel one, but I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Huh.
I don't know if you heard about this, and you should have brought this up a couple hours ago, but you were talking about McGMO earlier. Did you see that there's now going to be adult Happy Meals?
No.
Yeah, if they're giving out stupid little toys as prizes to eat a sad meal, that's a problem.
That is a big problem. Are you going to give a glucose meter with it or a BMI index chart or, you know?
Yeah, I don't want an action figure of whatever the latest movie is they're sponsoring.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't know. It depends on it, the movie. I'm joking.
Now, I do know that some of those McGMO toys from the 70s through the early 90s can be worth some money.
Yeah, I just sent you a link.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you. All right, so that's about right, I guess.
Yeah, so apparently there was a minor earthquake. Yep.
I don't even know if 2.6 you know, is even that big.
We have a lot of earthquakes here, so I have a quick link that I go to.
Oh, okay.
Because we have them quite often. And they're always unsettling. It always unsettles me. It kind of puts me on edge for the rest of the day for some reason every time we have one. Not that it's ever been bad. It's just kind of like I don't like that unexpected.
I just never heard. I just didn't feel it. Oh, well. What am I going to do?
There's another link I just sent you. It's a picture of, it's from Breitbart, and it's captioned, Florida man's $1 million car gets waterlogged by Hurricane Ian. A man's recently purchased $1 million McLaren P1 supercar fell victim to Hurricane Ian and the storm wreaked havoc on Florida. It was caught up in, it only had 300 miles on the odometer, and it was caught up in floodwaters in Naples, Florida. The car went through the garage. It was in a garage. Yeah, and the car floated out of the garage. And an additional image posted Thursday afternoon showed the car sitting on top of what appeared to be a toilet while a vehicle in the background was laying upside down. So, yeah, kind of a bummer. My first instinct was, the guy, you know, he's insurance deal, but apparently it was in the garage and it escaped from the garage and floated down the road. I ran into that. I thought that was kind of interesting. $1 million car. Nothing to see here, folks.
I saw that.
Yeah, except for this big bright yellow and black, you know, sports car floating down the street. Nothing to see. We'll have to watch for that at the flood auction.
They couldn't park it somewhere for real.
Yeah, I mean, with the money to buy a $1 million car, you'd think the guy would have friends in high places. Could have parked his car in one of the high places.
At the very least, you would ask somebody, can I pay you $1,000 for you to house my car for 2 days?
Exactly. So maybe he was having buyer's remorse. Yeah. Funny.
All right. Anything else we want to go over today? I'm kind of done for the night.
All right. No, I think we kind of milled through it all. Not bad considering, I didn't know if I was going to be with you today or not. You know, it was kind of a last minute thing. I hope that our friend Candace is okay in Florida. And she'll be back with you guys next Thursday night. So, and Amanda should
be back
next
on Fridays.
Yep, me back on Fridays and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
we have to work hard again to actually get new shows.
Yeah. Hey, work hard to get my house finished. No, I'm joking. But, I fly back over to the island on Monday.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to getting out of Sitka. So all your regular co-hosts should be back next week. And thanks for having me, Proof. Like I said, not a lot of time to prep for the show. I wasn't quite sure if I'd be covering tonight.
Week this week, I didn't do much because I didn't know how sick I would be. So I didn't want to plan something and tell people to cancel like we did with our Tuesday guest.
Yeah, exactly. Totally understandable. So, thank you for having me tonight, and for all those callers, Vito and Nathan, thanks for calling in.
All right, so I'll go ahead and do the ending here, and we'll be back again next week.
All right, well, thanks.
I guess something to think about as a parting shot for the night. I don't know if and when you're officially back for good as far as a co-host goes, but eventually Leslie would like to try and do Mondays if you want to go back to Tuesdays. But if you want Mondays, it's your call. Something to think about. I don't want an answer now. You can decide that later. But just know that I have to figure out my co-hosts and I obviously don't want to keep asking every week who's going to be available.
Exactly. Nope. I gotcha. All right.
So,
thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for thanking me. Everybody else, thank you for being here. I will be back on Monday as usual. Please check out the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until Monday, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am proof negative. I am Hooch.